Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin T, Testimony, with guest Deacon Chris Penning, Episode 49.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi there. Gosh, that exciting singer is Michael James Metty, who has gifted us on Catholic Vitamins with free use of his music, dear.
Yeah. Did you say you think our granddaughter sang that song?
I've got the joy. I think I remember her singing that a long time ago.
She was always a singer from Absolutely. The time she was real little.
Yeah. Well, I have Michael James Metty's card here. He's from the greater St. Louis area. And Michael James, in addition to gifting us with his music, has given us 4 download cards, allowing you to download all the songs from his wonderful album, Always What I Need. That's the title of the album. And he's gifted those to listeners and friends of Catholic Vitamins. So we haven't even said hi yet, but that music was kind of fun, and we wanted to let you know that if you like the sound of Michael James Metty, you can send us an email at catholicvitamins@gmail.com, or our feedback number, which Dee is uncovering, 206-350-3789.
206-350-3789.
And all you have to do is just Michael James. It's Metty, but a lot of people probably wouldn't know how to spell that.
Sure. Michael James.
Michael James. And we'll put the names that we get into a basket as Dee does.
I'll pull another basket
out. You're the deacon of the basket.
I am. I've got to keep these baskets in order here.
And we'll do that till the end of the month. If you'd like his music free on your iPod or other portable device, send us an email. And we haven't said it. This is Deacon Tom.
And this is Dee.
Well, hi, Dee. I'm so glad that you're with me today. It wouldn't be Catholic Vitamins without you.
Oh, thank you.
And do you remember what our Catholic vitamin for today is?
It is vitamin T.
Yes.
Testimony.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Thomas. Vitamin T, testimony.
Would you put your ego in your pocket, please?
Well, testimony is something most important. We're all given testimony by the grace of our baptism. And some time ago, Dee, do you remember that we interviewed Father Stefan, who wrote the book about miracles?
I'm reading his book.
You enjoying that?
I am.
Yeah. Well, he told a story about a Father Ron from Baltimore in the 1990s. Father Ron had a heart failure condition and was very near death. His parishioners prayed to the divine mercy of Jesus for him. They brought a first-class relic from Poland back and touched Father Ron with the relic, and his heart condition was completely and totally healed. That relic and that heart condition miracle were ones used to bring about the canonization of Blessed Faustina, who was canonized on Divine Mercy Sunday in 2000. Why am I telling this story? Well, that's a pretty dramatic story of testimony, But I have a little story of testimony, and I'll get into that a little later when we do our little segment before our guest. But I think all of us have testimony, Dee. You started life as a Methodist in Pennsylvania, and you wound up being married to a wandering Irish Catholic who's taken you all over the country. And rather than saving it to my eulogy, I hope someday you will tell your testimony. We've all got it. So that's what our show is about today. I'm looking forward to bringing this guest to you, listeners. He's a wonderful find. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of pumped about the shows today and upcoming that we have.
We've had some tremendous guests and some tremendous stories.
We really have. Well, let's see. We have a few things to cover.
Just one more thing. Since we were talking about me with all my baskets.
Yes.
We have one going right now.
Okay.
That we started offering, one or two podcasts ago. Direction for Our Times.
That organization.
Volume 2.
The book. Conversations with the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus.
And we have a few of those to give away, and we said we'd run this until the end of the month, which we still have another week or so to go. So anybody who would like one of these copies of that book, I've got names going in a basket.
All right. And, if you haven't listened to that podcast, it was with a young woman, 27-year-old woman named Nora, who had some testimony of her own in her life. And she's with a wonderful organization that is helping people to be disciples, apostles of Jesus. And I think it is a wonderful story that she shares, wonderful testimony, and I hope you get to know about Direction for Our Times.
And that was Vitamin R, Recharge?
Recharge, yeah.
So if anybody would like one of these books, just send an email or call us and put DFOT.
Direction for Our Times. As the subject. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We have a deacon friend, John Kunzmiller, that has become quite ill, and we'd like to ask our listeners to please hit the pause button for a moment or remember a little later on to pray for Deacon John Kunzmiller.
We know how powerful prayer is.
Amen.
And Amen. He and his family are up in Colorado, and we will keep praying for him, and we're asking you to do the same.
All right, well, that's it for this segment. I'll be back to talk about testimony and bring up our guest in just a moment. I guess we all know that the word testimony means a formal written or spoken statement, maybe one given in a court of law. For our uses today, testimony is a public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. Dear friends, in some setting that's appropriate, I have testimony to share. I've shared parts of it in homilies that I've done. My life was changed by the mercy of Almighty God. And in one case, the tool God used was a Jewish businessman who had been stealing money from his company. Sounds strange, doesn't it? The company was an international carrier of the goods of others. And that company had a written policy: anyone who steals anything from the company is subject to immediate and unquestioned termination. Well, my friend, the Jewish businessman, came to the point in his life that he decided he had to tell his employer, a publicly held company, that he had been padding his expense account for many years. And my friend risked everything, the livelihood that supported his wife and family. He risked everything to become honest again with his employer. I listened to that man's testimony, and I knew that I had to begin to change my own life. To one degree or another, we all have stories, we all have experiences, and in today's show, we're going to share a testimony given by a new and good friend. His name is Chris, and we'll get into that in a minute. What I'd like to ask you to do is to think about the testimony that you can give to others. How has God changed you? What story or life experience did your parent or grandparent pass on? How have you helped others? How have you made faith meaningful for your children or grandchildren? What widow or widower have you helped? Who have you visited in a nursing home? What have you done as a teacher's aide to help out in a classroom setting, maybe a civilian classroom setting or maybe a religious setting? We all ought to have some area of testimony. And the difference between stories and testimony is that testimony is like sworn statements indicating important and meaningful happenings in the world that you've lived in or are living in. Catholic Vitamins would like to hear your testimony. Call our feedback number and give us a short 2 or 3 minute overview of Christian testimony from your journey through life. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a deacon and a doctor and a new friend in my life. I'd like to introduce our listeners to Christopher Penning. Chris Penning is in Bridge, Texas, and I met him at the Priest and Deacons Retreat and Conference in Steubenville, Ohio. Hello in Texas, and Deacon Chris, it's good to be with you.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be talking to you, too.
Well, thank you. I sat across the table from you several times when we were eating in the dining room at Franciscan University, and I enjoyed listening to you and learning some about you. We also prayed together in different settings as we were doing our time together. And one of the things that I reached out to you for was to be able to spend a little time talking about you and your background and your work. Our show topic today is testimony, and you shared with us who were sitting with you at Franciscan some of your testimony, and I'd like to do that again today and have you bless our listeners with some of your background. Why don't you start, Chris, by telling us about your family of origin in your youth?
Yes, I'm 45 now, but I grew up as a lifelong Catholic, or a cradle Catholic, as we refer to that. In my family, who all lives in Texas now, I did most of my younger years in Kansas. And so primarily grew up in a Catholic community, a Catholic environment. Although I'll confess right off the top that although being the lifelong Catholic, I really was more of just a, I guess, a clock-in, clock-out Catholic, as we refer to. And even though I prayed the rosary daily and I went to daily Mass even throughout my high school and college years, I don't think I really knew Jesus Christ. Which kind of leads me to what maybe you and I were talking about, maybe the first time that maybe I took a detour in my faith. And that would have been in medical school. I was very involved in college in the Newman Center and high school and the Catholic youth groups. And but looking back on that, I think my involvement was really because it was fun and it was socially fun, but I never really questioned any of the teachings of my faith. But then when I got to medical school and being immersed in modernism and modern science, science seemed to want to have a way to explain everything away from God. And I do remember talking with a professor in college who was formerly Jewish and who had even lost his own faith in God. And talking with him, his basic understanding was science could prove and solve anything if we give it long enough. And God and religion is just for people that are either uneducated or too poor to get anything for themselves. I'm sure you've heard that argument before.
Absolutely, yeah. So it had some impact in your faith walk then?
It sure did. I remember listening to all this, and I knew that God was there. I knew the things I'd been taught growing up, but you begin to question, you know, am I believing the right thing? Because you can believe anything full-heartedly, but it may not even be right. Even our modern-day example of that might be the guys that flew the planes into the World Trade Center several years ago on 9/11. They believed what they were doing were right, but they were believing wrongly.
Sure.
And that first detour for me was really explore what is the Catholic Church teaching. And so I started really trying to read this thing we call the Bible that Catholics always have but never really open. And I got one as a confirmation gift years ago, and it was still in that box that I got it, you know, never really been taken out yet.
Wow.
And, you know, trying to read Scripture, trying to explore the teachings of our faith. And this is back in kind of the mid-80s when I'm going through this. And what it really, I got to the point of, you know, yes, there is a God. I believe that all this had to come in being with it. Who is this God really? And looking back, I think that was the beginning of my faith journey. Fortunately, God had put me in an area where there was a strong Catholic church, where there was a wonderful priest there, Father Joe Kramer, who I remember today and still pray for, and many, many visits with Father Kramer, and kind of a individual mini RCIA process I went through with him over a year, and coming out of there, really graduating from medical school at that point, knew that there was a God and that I was Catholic. And I want to say that was probably the first detour in my faith. And I wanted to mention that before we talked about some of the other experiences, because, you know, for some of your listeners, it's not a bad thing to want to explore your faith or even have some doubts in your faith, because, you know, once you really try to discover God, who God is, he's not going to hide himself from you. He's going to reveal himself more and more to you.
So,
but he never really forces himself on you.
So after your time with Father, was it Kramer, Father Kramer?
Yes.
You began then to adopt the faith as your own, take it on as your own. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. I started to, I really at that point, being a person, an academic type of person, really wanted to study and know my faith. And I started my practice here, which was in 92, and at that point was still, looking back, was just devouring anything I could read about the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith. And the first kind of challenge for me there was, you know, my wife and I newly married. She was also cradle Catholic, but not strong in her faith either. And so we're trying to attend Mass and follow the teachings of the church and try to follow, you know, the things the church is teaching, natural family planning and all these things, and at the same time trying to balance being a physician. And I remember the pastor at that time said, well, you know, if you really want to learn your faith, you got to teach religious education, because you don't really know anything until you try to teach it. And you know, I remember talking to my wife, and I said, gosh, we don't know anything. How are we going to teach other people? But we did start teaching in 94, and still are today. We teach the high school kids. And I think, you know, that looking back on that, and I tell people this, that becoming a religious education teacher in the church really did, you know, has strengthened my walk and in a lot of ways saved me from myself, from maybe deviating away.
A great testimony. When did the call to be a deacon get started with you, and how long have you been a deacon?
The call for the diaconate, I think, started in 98, and that was another my wife and two children, who were 5 and 3 at the time, were in an auto accident. My wife had some injuries that had left her in a wheelchair for about a year after the wreck. And my 3-year-old son had a head injury, and he was not able to speak. And when he did speak, it was just some stuttering repetitions of vowels. We had went through several months of trying to find doctors to heal him, couldn't find anything, any offering of modern medicine that was helping his problem. And after exhausting all the specialists, I finally turned to the church, and talking with some of the charismatic prayer group in the church, they had turned me on to some priests that had some charismatic gifts of healing. And so we went and visited these priests. Father Manny, I believe, is his name, but I can't remember exactly. Anyway, nonetheless, not to get long-winded, but when we went to him and I brought my son, Father Manny, and said, well, you know, the Lord has told me that you need to pray for him and heal him. And I thought, I'm not holy enough to do this. So I made a really good confession with him, went home that night, prayed over my son along with my wife, and my prayer at that point really was that God would allow me to trade places with my son.
Wow.
Let him be healed completely, and let me be the one that kind of hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Let me be the one, you know, that would take his pain away. And at that moment, my eyes were suddenly opened, and I realized how much Christ loved us, and that he took on the same thing I was trying to do, you know, took on the suffering in our place. Mm. And the next morning when my son woke up, he was completely healed.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
And that was, that there was something placed in my heart that night that really opened me up to, you know, perhaps God is calling me to be more than what I am myself. And I think that's when the idea of the diaconate really started, you know, being placed in my heart. So,
are your wife and son both healed now?
100% completely. My son's 12 now, and he's a big boy. Gosh, he's about 5'7", 160 pounds, big 12-year-old. My wife completely healed as well. So, yeah, God 100% healed both of them that night.
Thanks be to God.
My healing was healing my own heart of selfishness. And as you know, being a deacon, Tom, it's all about dying to yourself and turning, letting God use you wherever he wants you to.
I did a little bit of work to get ready for our time together today and for our listeners, not so much for Deacon and Doc Chris, but I found a couple things. Dr. Penning is an amazing man. Both he and another doctor named are wonderful physicians. They are the only physicians that I've ever known to call a patient on a Saturday to make sure they were okay. They are what I would call true Christians. And another person said, when my mom was at home bedridden with only weeks to live, we called Dr. Penning to come and check her out. Not only is he a compassionate man, but a true man of God. He held our hands and said a prayer before he left. You really touched me in Ohio when we were there. I thank God for your gift of healing medically and spiritually, and it was healing just for me to be with you. Just because I know we're in the middle of your business day as we're putting this interview together, we have some other areas that I want our listeners to hear about. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Deacon and Dr. Chris Penning from Bridge, Texas. And one of the things in one of our meal conversations that came up is, Chris, that you're involved in, or have been involved in, Haiti and other mission work. Could you tell our listeners about that?
Yes, I've been on 5 foreign mission trips, 3 of them to Mexico, 1 to Ecuador in South America, and then most recently February in Haiti. And all of that has been since I became a deacon in 2006. You and I, Tom, talked specifically about two things. I'll kind of mention Haiti first, and that was if your listeners remember, there was an earthquake in January in Haiti that a 7 or 9, I can't remember exactly, but about 250,000 people initially died in the earthquake, and then later, subsequently, another approximately 100,000 have died. But when that earthquake hit, I remember it was a Wednesday night, I remember that, and I heard about it on the news, and I instantly knew that God was going to call me to go. And from that night, I started calling the other people that I've been on mission with, which are a couple other nurses and Catholic, and the other doctors that I've been on mission with, and asked them, hey, do you guys see about this thing on Haiti? Do you have any idea that you might want to go? And we prayed about it and prayed about it, and it seemed like every avenue we looked at to try to get down to Haiti was collapsing on us. And it took us really about 3 weeks to be able to get to go. But, I knew from the instant that happened that God was going to ask me to go to Haiti. And we were calling all the different organizations down there. We couldn't find a way to get ourselves down there or anybody that would let us come. We had visa problems with Haiti. We decided, the group of us, that, when God would call, we would go. And we prayed a rosary and a chaplet of divine mercy together. And this was on a Saturday at 8 in the morning. At 4 o'clock that afternoon on a Saturday, we got the call from International Medical Alliance and said they had room for us to come and to be on the plane Tuesday. Mm. And so we headed down there. Haiti was a very tough mission. I've never done that sort of thing before, disaster relief. But we worked at a little, it had formerly been a small hospital, about a 12-bed hospital, right on the Haitian-Dominican Republic border. It was about 12 miles east of Port-au-Prince. And our job there was to really triage a lot of the injured people that have had 3-week-long injuries, and to try and either get them routed to the surgeons, or really just give them comfort medicine to help them live their last days. And it was tough. You can describe what it looks like, and you can see it on the news, but until you get down there and you smell the smells and hear the sounds and really get involved with the human suffering, it's just kind of hard to describe. But I think what your listeners really want to hear about that is not the misery part, but really the resiliency and joy of the human being. And, in the midst of the pain and suffering, we've got some very strong Christian and Catholic brothers and sisters down there that were praising God. And we had morning and evening prayer with the camp that's down there. And, we're talking several hundred Haitian people crammed under this big top tent, several more hundred outside living out in the elements. But again, morning and evening prayer and testimony, and they were just thankful for every little thing from God, the ability to have food to eat and water to drink. That experience for me was a tough one, because I really did, in a real way, get to see the suffering of Christ and minister to that. And Even after these several months I've been back, still trying to digest everything that happened to me down there. I don't know what else you want me to tell you on that one, Tom. Well, I could go on for days.
But. Yeah. I might mention to you, Chris, and to our listeners, that we've previously had on our show Dr. Russ Rentler, who is a doctor who's been to Haiti, I think it's 13 times, he and his wife. She's a nurse. And they have a website called Crossed the Tiber. Crossed is past tense, crossedthetiber.com. And they regularly, I think once or twice a year, try to go. So if anybody would like to continue to help the people in Haiti, you could certainly do it through them and also through Catholic Relief Services, whom we believe in and support quite a bit. Realizing that we can't hold you too much longer, I'll ask this by way of leading into the next topic. If there's anything about your other mission work, other places you've been to that you'd like to talk about, we'd like to hear it. But the final topic that I'd like to cover with you is any healing of patients, either physically, you know, medically, physically, or emotionally. And I think there was one story that you partially shared with us about a fellow named Calvin. So there's your opening to sort of guide the rest of our time together.
Sure. Well, let's just talk about Calvin. And the story we had talked about happened in one of our Mexico mission trips 2 years ago. We went to 15 of us from this area did a more of an evangelization trip to the area of Saltillo, Mexico, and really we camped out of a town called General Cepeda in the mountains around there. But one of the guys we took with us was a friend of mine. At that time, he was right at 6 years old, and Calvin was in the last days suffering from pancreatic cancer, which, as you know, Tom, is a very quick-acting and painful cancer.
Right.
And he had been a member of our church and a great guy. And anyway, we had always wanted to do a mission trip, so even though it was going to be hard, we said, look, we're going to all band together and take him with. And are you still there with me?
I am, yes.
Okay. So anyway, this is a healing story that we had talked about. We had taken Calvin down there and had done a lot of physically hard work for several days, re-roofing a house for a person. We were doing a evening prayer service at one of the little villages called Port Elpa. And Calvin was giving his testimony to the people. We're having a praise and worship service, and this is about 50 of the people that live there, plus the group of us. And he's giving his testimony, you know, how he has pancreatic cancer and how he's really asked God to heal him, but God has chosen not to heal him physically. And, you know, that this trip was probably his last trip. But his testimony to the people were that even in the last days, he wanted to spend it kind of doing God's work. And the people in that village at that prayer service, they just spontaneously wanted to pray for him. So we put Cal in the middle. They all extended hands over him. And, you know, if you're familiar with that form of charismatic prayer, you know, we just sang and prayed and kept our hands on him for a solid 15 minutes or so. Myself and a couple other people really felt an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we knew that Calvin was going to be healed. And for the rest of the trip, Calvin was just a man of peace. We came back to the United States, and you know, the first visit was to go see the doctor, and all of us just knew that he was going to be healed completely of his cancer. When he went to the doctor, it was totally the opposite. His cancer was not healed, and it was worse. In fact, after that, he only lived a few more weeks. But when he had come back, you know, from the doctor, and he's telling us the news, you know, I felt almost devastated. And I said, Calvin, you know, my wife was with me at that time, too, and Calvin's wife as well. And I said, you know, Calvin, I just knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was going to heal you that night. And I felt it so powerfully, and many of us did. And he looked at me and he said, Chris, he said, God did heal me that night. He said, my anxiety is gone. I have no fear of death. And you know, he told me the greatest healing isn't being healed of high blood pressure or cancer or any other dreaded disease, but the greatest healing is that of the human heart.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, it's hard to even talk about it.
But yeah, for me to hear it, too. It makes me emotional to hear it because, you know, we all struggle with these worries and fears, and every health challenge scares us, and I've been through a couple of them in years, recent years past, just after I became a deacon, and to have that peace would be, I think, a greater healing. And as we're recording this, I don't like to spring something on you, Doc, but I just found out that our beloved Father Francis Martin, who you know comes to the priest and deacon meetings, has had a massive heart attack in Europe. And he's at the time, the last word that I had, he's on a ventilator and they've done surgery on him. So we'll keep him in prayer and ask our listeners who might hear this, that whatever the outcome is by the time they listen to this, that God's will is done. And if anybody would be ready to go to meet the Father, it would be Francis Martin for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful man.
Yeah, yeah, isn't he? Well, our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Deacon and Dr. Christopher Penning from Bridge, Texas. He truly is a man that I could sit across a dining room or a cafeteria table from and talk with and listen to for many hours. And I hope you sense that, those of you listening, that he has much to share, much to give to the people of God, whether it's medically, spiritually, emotionally. And it's been a great joy to be with you. How long have you been a deacon? I don't know if we got that answered.
Yeah, I kind of jumped all over the place. February of 2006 when I was ordained.
Praise God.
I have 4 years.
Well, did your assistant that I worked with to help set this up, did she tell you that I said that I have time and grade on you and that I could help her with her accent?
Yeah, she's got that Texas curse for sure. My assistant, who is also my very dear friend, her and her husband both are very dear friends. There's very few people that could sit beside me all these years and put up with my busy life. But she as you know, Tom, diaconate is a ministry for both you and your wife.
Absolutely.
And she assists both me and my wife, and we get all the glory and credit for all of her hard work. She does all these things, and everybody just thinks we're the best, but truly, my hats go off to Tracy. She's the hard worker that puts all this together for us every day.
So. Deacon, I haven't done this with a deacon on the show before. May we close with your blessing?
I didn't hear you, Tom. I'm sorry.
Would you give us your blessing, please?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we glorify your name for all your power and radiance that you give us. We thank you so much for everything in our lives, even the talents and gifts that we don't see that you pour in us every day. Lord, I'm asking for everybody here that's a listener that they'd understand that you are loving and thirsting for them and that you stand with your arms wide open, ready to greet them at any time that they want to turn to you, Lord, and that any time they want to help discover you. And so we'd ask for the Lord to send out his Holy Spirit upon this program and upon this ministry of Tom and his wife, and to bless their church, their parish, and their diaconate ministry at large. And may Almighty God bless us and protect us from all evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Dr. Christopher Penning, deacon and doctor, and we thank you. We will keep you in our prayers, and please do the same for us.
Hello, it's Cheryl Deco, author of Our Jewish Roots. Delighted to be with you today, spending a little time talking about the letter T, my Jewish roots perspective on the letter T, and what I've selected to talk to you for a moment or two about is teacher. We know that Christ was often called rabbi, in that he, you know, was looked to in his position of authority, and he helped people learn, and in that way he was a great teacher. And I was thinking about the great responsibility we have with this explosion of the internet and the ways in which we are reaching out to one another and wanting to evangelize and wanting to witness. And we have to step back for a moment and realize the sort of responsibility that that gives us, because at this point we're all kind of like being teachers. And so I think about the fact that Christ was raised for many years by Mary, a Jewish mother, who we know that God would have counted on her teaching Jesus all the aspects of the faith, that the human part of Jesus would be experiencing the day-to-day Jewish faith. So in other words, grounding him, we have to look at it like grounding him so that then when he went out, he was teaching and preaching according to the Father's word and will. And so we have to understand that responsibility as well. So as Catholics, we have many teachers. We have teachers that are formal teachers. We look to our priests and our rabbis and our deacons. But we also look to one another. And then we also have resources, like I'm holding in front of me right now, a big, beautiful, hard copy of the encyclicals of John Paul. So certainly our popes, the documents that our popes write for us help us learn. So I was thinking it's very important for us as we enter and embrace this time of the internet and we want to evangelize and we want to witness, that we make sure that before we go take on the role of teacher and teach others, that we ourselves have learned our faith, that we've been taught our faith by people who are faithful to the magisterium. So it's a big responsibility to teach and to be taught, and it's something for us to enjoy, embrace, but take that responsibility very seriously. Have a blessed week.
That's some more music from Michael James Metty and his album Always What I Need. And a reminder that you can get a free download copy of his latest album. Just send us an email or call our feedback number and we'll put your name in a basket. And Dee just loves having names in baskets, don't you?
Yeah, well, don't get too many going here. I don't want to get too confused.
No, we've got the Direction for Our Times free book.
Yes.
Giveaway.
That's one basket.
And we have Michael James Metty. That's another basket.
That's another basket.
And then we're going to have a Vita Scrabble in just a minute.
Right.
Which is going to be
another basket.
Third basket. Gosh. We're going to have to go and buy some more baskets. Let me see those Facebook friends over there. Can I do those, please?
Sure, you can.
All right. Oh, I want to say thanks to Dr. Chris. Oh, Deacon Dr. Chris. It's hard to be around you that my heart doesn't get verklempt. And I enjoyed our time in Ohio, and I enjoyed our time on the phone. And dear friends, I just think it's such a blessing, some of the guests that we're able to find. It isn't Dee or myself. It's, I think, God's grace helping us. And we sure enjoyed Doc Chris. I've got some new Facebook friends. Christine Kempker, John Paul Cowlin, Tracy Duncan, Deacon Tom Frankenfeld, Terry Schrader, Jennifer Howell, Avery Grant, and...
That's mine.
Oh, that's D, sorry. And Sasson Mofo. And then you have...
I've got Avery Grant.
Yes.
And that is Miss Avery.
Oh,
Teen Avery from the Catholic Moments podcast. She
and
does
from
the
live... WTL. Yes. Yeah. How awesome. Avery, how come you're not my friend? Okay, well, what
and
else
And if we could have gotten to Boston, we could have met her.
I know. I don't think she listens to Catholic Vitamins.
Well, whether she does or doesn't, she's such a sweetheart.
Twitter followers, Lisa and Shelley from Sound Mind and Spirit.
Spirit. They're following both of us.
Yeah.
And I've got Pat Paul.
It's easy for you.
Pat Padley following me.
And Jeffrey Mickler and Dana Faulkner and Father Seraphim Bishoner, Catholic Under the Hood.
Yeah.
And Ray Jericho and Deborah Shaben. Hi, Deborah. And Inga Lute. Hello, Inga. And Carolyn Johnson and Randy Beeler. And Deacon Don Schaefer from on Plurk. This has got to be a plant. I can't believe Deacon Don Schaefer is on anything, but here he is. Here he is.
Every time he pops up on with some computer thing, we're just so amazed.
Yep. Well, let's begin to start our wrap-up. I have a little Vita humor.
Go ahead.
This is my own testimony, folks.
I'll get my laugh ready.
My first... Great. That's why we got married. You remember that? We covered that in an earlier podcast. And she's still laughing, but it seems different.
At you.
My first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate.
Ha, ha, ha.
Just doesn't sound that real to you. All right. What else do we have?
I wanted to say that we're still getting a little bit of feedback coming in from all of our mailings we did of Brian Murdaugh's CD. And this one from Charlene I thought was nice. Thank you for sending me that fabulous CD. I was so surprised when I checked my mail, and I can't wait to listen to it. I'm still enjoying my weekly dose of Catholic vitamins. You two are the best.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're back in the will.
And shall we draw our Vita Scrub?
Our winner for testimony.
This is for testimony.
Okay.
Okay, I'm shaking it.
We have a basket. Dee won't let me look in because
I'm holding it up high.
Yeah, and there's paper slips in there. I've reached in.
Okay.
I pulled out. Actually, got two there, so here's one back. And the one that I have is Don Barry in Canada. He guessed testimony.
Great, Don.
So we are so grateful that you're playing along and listening along, we hope. And
you're the one who will get our treat. Unfortunately, we still can't send out our Catholic vitamin sweet treat. It's still a little too hot.
The original one.
Yeah, our original sweet treat. We have to kind of put that on hold for a while during this hot weather period because they wouldn't be in good shape when they got to you. So we're going to give you a different kind of treat.
So we opened the show with a prayer request for Deacon John Kunzmiller. And I'm reminded that Father Francis Martin, as I mentioned in the interview, has been sick with a very serious heart problem. He's doing better, thanks be to God. But, dear friends, a prayer for a wonderful holy priest, Father Francis Martin. So, what else do we have, dear to
Vita Scrabble for next time.
Oh, yes.
Vita Scrabble.
Today was a T vitamin, so that means the next one
is vitamin U.
Vitamin U.
And it starts with U, it ends in D,
like Dolores?
As in me, like D,
uh-huh.
Ends in D, and it has 10 letters.
This is a kind of a long one, and y'all just have to put your thinking cap on, but it's a wonderful Catholic vitamin, and I'm going to tell you that next week will be a death-defying show. What do you think, D?
I think so.
Okay. That's all the clue that we're going to give on that, at least right now. So, you want to do Vita...
Shall we go out with a Vita minute?
Great. Okay.
All right. Here we go. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and sunrise every morning. When you want to talk, he will listen. He could live anywhere in the universe. But he chose your heart.
Isn't that wonderful? How wonderful. Well, Dee, I hope that you'll be thinking about your testimony because we want you to share your testimony sometime here on Catholic Vitamins. I wish I could do some applause right now. We'd have the people applauding that they'd like to hear your testimony.
I don't have any great, great story like a lot of our guests do.
My point is it doesn't have to be earth-shattering. Just some testimony about something where your life or someone else's life has been changed, and we hope for the better. So, dear friends, if you have any testimony, share it with someone because you'll never know whose life you'll change. And I think we're ready to say
bye.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.